Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is the grumpy Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how are we doing this week?
Well, I'm grumpy for one reason, but I'm also very happy for another because the Pacers are in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Knicks. So that's the happy side. But I think what you're referencing is my grumpy side in terms of a story I wrote last week that I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yes, we're going to get. But you know what? You bring up the Pacers Knicks. I'm old enough to remember Indiana Knicks playoff series every year, and it's a war.
Yeah.
And I suspect that's what we're going to get in that conference final.
I think it is. And here's a funny anecdote real quick. So I grew up, the 8 points in 9 seconds happened during my birthday party.
Oh, no.
for those who remember that. So that was great. And then last night I had my fiance watch the Winning Time, which was the 30 for 30 on ESPN, Reggie Miller versus the New York Knicks. So now she fully understands where that hatred comes from and the rivalry was established. So we'd kind of talked about it a little bit. We went to one of the games when they played in the Eastern Conference semifinals last year. We went to game three. And so she learned a little bit about it then. But now she's entrenched in it.
Well, that's good to have the fiance going that way with you. The Reggie Miller era against the Knicks. And that is a great way to put it. Reggie Miller versus the Knicks.
Yeah.
Phenomenal stuff. That was back when I really enjoyed the NBA. But I think this series, it's going to be a lot of fun. I've just by coincidence seen, I'm not a Knicks fan, okay? People hear that I'm a Mets fan assume I'm a Knicks fan also. I'm not. But for some reason, when I flipped on an NBA playoff game, I get the Knicks, okay? So I got them against the Pistons, physical as all get out. Wonderful series. Then you get Knicks-Celtics. Well, that's just a war. I feel like the Knicks versus anybody is a war.
Yeah, this is kind of the old school 90s Knicks, like as 90s as you can get in today's NBA because they're really good defensively. They've got Jalen Brunson who can knock down a shot from anywhere, but Josh Hart is a physical player. OG Anunoby is a physical player. They just got a lot of really good pieces, so it should be a really fun series, and I don't think it's going to mirror the 90s in terms of the brutality, but I think in terms of level of intrigue, it'll probably be up there.
On the brutality front, I'm not so sure you're right, okay? I'm expecting really physical play there. So you've talked me into it. I'm all of a sudden going to be all over that series, Dustin. All right, let's move on. Let's move on from happy Dustin with his Indiana Pacers to grumpy Dustin. You alluded to it a little bit. Last week, you put out an article, and I think on our website, I'll put up the link to it so people could read and know what we're talking about. But if you could just give a preview of it, I picture just little Dustin Schutte eating his peanut butter toast and drinking his chocolate milk and watching college football.
Yeah, so basically this is – and I thought about this. It's a weird time to kind of think about it because we're in the quiet period of the off season, right? We're past spring football. There's recruiting to talk about, and we're a couple months away from media days and then fall camp. So I'll admit it's an odd time, but there's always just conversations out there about college football. A lot of people love the sport. I love the sport. But I was thinking about this the other day where, you know, I used to get up on Saturday mornings and rush down the stairs and flip it immediately to College game day. And that would be what I would do for the next 14 hours, you know, unless I had a sporting event at the school or something that I had to, or a practice or whatever that I had to take part in. That was my Saturday. And it was like that through high school and college. And what I really loved about it was like every game mattered. Every game was important. Every team was important. And somewhere along the way, we've gotten away from that. Instead of highlighting like the best stories that we have to talk about, instead of highlighting the great players, the great games, the upsets, it's now just become everybody yelling at each other about what team stinks, who they haven't played, what the schedule looks like. And to me, it seems like it's really devalued the game. And I think part of this is the implementation of the 4-team playoff and then now the 12-team playoff, where if you don't make the playoff, you don't matter. When I was growing up, bowl games were a big deal. Now, I understand that places like Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, national championship was always the standard. So maybe if you didn't make a New Year's Six bowl or if you didn't play for a national championship, maybe it was a bit of a disappointing season. But man, going to the Rose Bowl, that used to basically be the national championship in Big Ten country. And it just feels like we've gotten so far away from that. And I can't help but think that when you watch these networks on ESPN, and I go back to the Indiana thing, where Kirk Herbstreit is constantly, you know, talking about how Indiana doesn't deserve to get in because they were valued because of their number of wins. Well, there's a reason they keep score, and there's a reason that they keep track of the record. And then the same thing happening on the Fox side, usually Joel Klatt, he will clamor for the Big Ten team. So it's become more about networks than the actual football played on the field. And so for me, and I wanted to stress this, like the actual game is still entertaining. I will still watch football all day long on Saturday afternoons or Friday nights or, you know, whenever they're playing. But when it comes to like just the surrounding topics around college football, I can't do it anymore because it is just constant complaining.
Well, you know what, Dustin, there's a lot to cover. First off, I want to point out to folks, you have your pup with you in your office right now, don't you?
Yes, I do. Could you hear him snacking?
Yeah. I just wanted to let our listeners know that if they heard that, and it's okay, but that's your dog. It wasn't you or I snacking or lapping up our water, okay? It was your pup.
Okay, yes, sorry about that. The acoustics in here aren't the best to eliminate sound, but yes, he did have a full breakfast as we were recording.
which is fine. Like I said, I just needed to clarify for the listeners that wasn't you or I, okay? So we start with that. And it's fascinating. I read your article and I instantly agreed. Then I reread it. And now I'm gonna play devil's advocate a little bit because I think there's several things in here. Well, first of all, what I will agree with is I think the media, we've reached a point where there's so much more of it. There was a time you talked about, you know, your peanut butter toast and chocolate milk and sitting down to game day on ESPN and watching straight through. At the time, ESPN was kind of a monopoly on college football, the talking heads, all that. And maybe this is me having a better memory of it than I thought it was, I'll say at least fairly balanced. There wasn't the, like we have now, Fox is going to defend the Big Ten and ESPN's going to defend the Southeast Conference, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so you question the mode of the motivation of now, as you said, if you're, you and our, for both of us, our whipping boy is Paul Feinbaum because he's like the absolute worst in the world with his defense of he thinks Vanderbilt should probably get in the playoffs ahead of Ohio State. Okay.
Right.
That's the degree with which he will defend the Southeast Conference. But there's a couple little things that I'll nitpick with. One of them, and this comes from a Penn Stater, so take it for what that's worth, is when Penn State entered the Big Ten in the early 90s, we were absolutely flabbergasted by this, going to the Rose Bowl. How could you argue with that? Well, we want to play for the national championship. And one of the great Penn State teams, in fact, one of the great teams in college football history, was Penn State's 1994 team. And the funny thing is, Penn State for many years was an independent and got locked out of playing for the national championship because the bowl games were locked up. You know, who, if you wanted to play a Pac-12 or a Big Ten team for a national championship, they were locked up in the Rose Bowl. Now, all of a sudden, Penn State enters the Big Ten, and guess what happens? The first time they have a great team, they get locked out of a potential national championship game with Nebraska because they got locked into the Rose Bowl and couldn't play for the national championship. And then to add insult to injury, and this is me just carrying a grudge, Dustin, for 30 years, okay? I think eventually I'll get over it. But at the time, the way the national championships worked, it was still voted on. You had the coaches poll, you had the writers poll. And sometimes when there were two deserving teams, I think they almost, it was a plan to split the title. One would vote one way, one would vote the other way. And the writers would consistently vote for the team in their area. Big Ten writers would vote for a Big Ten team. Southeast Conference for a Southeast Conference team. Surprise, surprise. Guess what, though? In that particular year, the Big Ten writers, they voted for Nebraska, who wasn't in the conference yet, instead of Penn State, because Penn State was so resented going in. So after 30 years, I should get over it. And it may sound like I'm going off on a tangent, but I think those kind of things, those kind of arguments did go on back then, Dustin. And I think they were just as egregious, but there just wasn't as many people screaming Southeast Conference versus Big Ten.
No, I think that's a valid point. I think what has happened, and I'll try to make this point quick or address it on the other side, is a lot of people talk about how, you know, you're going to lose the balance in college football on a yearly basis for whatever reason, whatever they're talking about, or you're going to lose, you know, certain things like that. Well, college football has never been balanced, and it's always been political, right, to some degree. And so I think that that has always been the case, and we can talk a little bit more on that, but I think you're right. I think that stuff always happened, but now it's just the magnitude of every little thing, and all of those circumstances are just, they just beat the dead horse. I don't know, until it's dead again. I don't know how to end that phrase.
You're exactly right on that, but we will pick this up when we come back right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. This is quarter number two of our show. We are talking about Dustin being a grumpy old man who, by the way, just as a preview, coming up in our next segment, we're going to have Dustin screaming at the clouds. So you want him to stay tuned for that. But let's get back to the article that he wrote last week. And about how the game has changed. And I wonder, Dustin, too, sometimes is it a case where we always want – it was always better years ago?
Yes, I think that's the case. I think that's – I certainly think that that's part of it. I think you, when you're a child, it's the what you see and what you perceive is so influential to what you want. Like we talked about before we came on the show about the way the NBA is played. And I think we both long for those 90s, yeah. Right? For the 90s NBA. Oh, yes. I think we can all agree the dog's about to lap up more water here. So that's, that's not me chugging from the, I swear he does this for just when we're recording so he can get attention.
What's the pup's name?
Biscuit.
Biscuit. I love that. Yeah. So people will know from now on when there's that background noise, it's Biscuit. It's not Dustin or I.
I saw him trudging towards the trough, so I thought I'd give some people a warning. But I think you're right. I think everybody, when you grow up, you kind of long for those memories and you want to get that back. And for me, just so people know where I kind of stand on this, like, and where I'm coming from, I talked about going to those, you know, in front of the TV on Saturday mornings. This was also me growing up. We had season tickets to Purdue games. And it was at the height of the Drew Brees era.
Stop you right there. As a Purdue fan, it was better in the 90s.
Yeah, correct. Yes, that's correct. Absolutely. But for me, they had, and it's probably a little bit different, speaking of where you're coming from, Jim, about, you know, competing for national championships, and maybe the Rose Bowl wasn't the end-all be-all, but Purdue, when they were so bad, to have Drew Brees to get to a bowl game, that was a big deal. To be in contention for the Big Ten, that's a huge deal. To win the Big Ten and go to the Rose Bowl, I mean, you're talking about, people still talk about that season as if it was yesterday. And so I think part of that, I will admit, is probably me yearning, not for necessarily Purdue success, but I always talk about, I love watching programs being built. I think it was amazing what guys like Randy Walker and Pat Fitzgerald did at Northwestern. I think it's impressive to see what PJ Fleck has done at Minnesota. If you want to throw Kurt Cignetti in Indiana, it's only a 1-year sample size. And so I just feel like sometimes we've gotten away from that with the transfer portal, with NIL. And the story wasn't about that, because again, the games are actually good. I just feel like we focus on so much of the negative and so much of the, well, they didn't play anybody. Well, this or that. Well, this guy's hurt. And it's like, well, you guys are the reason we're now in an 18-team super conference and not everybody can play everybody in the Big Ten. There used to be a time when I was growing up when 11 teams, you would play 8 of them. You would miss 2, I think. And so sometimes it was the luck of the draw. Sometimes it was like, all right, great, we don't play Ohio State and Michigan this year. And so maybe you had a better chance to win the Big Ten. So it's just – it's one of those things where I probably look back on it with a little bit through rose-colored glasses, not Rose Bowl-colored glasses, but just rose-colored glasses. And I think that you're correct, that there's a little bit of nostalgia there, probably from where I grew up. But I just think that when I watch it now, when I turn on Game Day or Fox Big Noon or whatever, it seems like they're not talking about the actual football itself as much. It's just constantly who should be in the playoff, who should not be in the playoff. It's like, we got all of November to talk about that. Like, and maybe I'm crazy. It doesn't seem like we get that same sort of conversation on the NCAA, on the basketball side. There seems to be more of a focus on the regular season. And then when you get closer to March, obviously you talk about teams that can go to the Final Four and stuff, but it's just the college football playoff is such a driving force in college football that it's what's discussed every single week rather than the games on hand.
You make a lot of good points, and I'll just hit it from my perspective. Like you, when ESPN came about, and yes, I could remember a time when there was no ESPN. So just to get Game Day, it was fun in the beginning. Now, quite candidly, I do not watch those pregame shows. I cannot watch them. Just can't. It seems less about information and more about screaming and shouting and trying to win a debate, trying to make a point that I don't even care about. What I also think, though, what's interesting about the game itself is college football was always unique. It was the only sport that didn't have a playoff that ended in ultimately in a champion being crowned. And I remember, again, showing my age a little bit, Dustin, and I was 8 years old in 1968. Okay, you could do your arithmetic there very quickly.
Hold on, Jim. Let me break out my calculator here real quick.
we had the abacus back then. But Penn State had undefeated teams in 1968, 1969, and 1973. Okay, that's three times in the span of 6 years. And didn't sniff a national championship. Never had the opportunity. So Penn State fans were screaming for a national championship, you know. But there was still that argument. Could Penn State have beaten, you know, Texas? And Penn State ended up playing Texas, you know, 2 years after, I think in 71, and beat them. And it was like, that's retribution, you know, for not winning the national championship 2 years earlier when it was a completely different team. But that's the way you thought. And the sense from any Penn State fan is this new – a playoff was the ultimate. I was in college. I graduated in 1981. Again, keep doing your math there, your arithmetic. And I literally did a speech on why there should be a playoff in college football in a public speaking class, okay?
Nice.
I was ahead of my time, Dustin. I really was.
You are.
There's a backstory to all that, too, which I'll give you between segments. But now I wonder a little bit that if not, it leads into, like, does the regular season mean anything now that we have 12-team playoff and could be going to 16? I still say what we have now is better, having the playoffs. And I don't think you're arguing against the playoffs, but it's just how the media handles it is really not and we're part of it. Maybe we're part of the problem, Dustin, and we give our opinions also. And I would venture to guess that our opinions probably skew a little bit towards the Big Ten.
Yeah, I take we do it too. We talk about the mighty SEC in a sarcastic way, right? We complained about Alabama and people clamoring for Alabama. I feel like, though, when you are – so I'm going to go back to this again with it, when it was game day. There weren't as many arguments amongst, like, the panel, right? At least not that I remember. I remember it being about good stories and good matchups and all that stuff. But when there was an argument that would break out, it felt authentic. And now it feels forced. And that's where I think we've kind of lost the plot on that side. Like, are you just arguing because your bosses are telling you need to make an argument so you have a viral moment? Or do you actually believe what you're saying? Like, to me, there was no situation. And I'll go back to, now I can't really think about the dates here. Was it 2023 playoff when Florida State was left out despite having an undefeated season? To me, there's no way Kirk Herbstreit was believing what he was saying, because all season long he said, well, if Florida State goes undefeated, they're in the playoff. And I understand they lost their quarterback, but what do you want them to do? You go back X amount of years when Ohio State got in on their third string quarterback. And I know it's different circumstances, different situations, but like you just, to me, it was such a company line to me. Like, okay, that's where you've fallen. And I think that's where they've lost me a little bit. And that's why I'm not arguing against the playoff. As I've told you multiple times on this, now I think we'll probably talk about at some point in this show this summer, we'll talk about the potential for automatic bids and the number of automatic bids and things like that. But in terms of like, does the 12-team playoff, 16-team playoff, we had so many interesting games, so many more meaningful games in November than I remember. And so I think for that reason, the playoff has helped the sport. But it's just this constant arguing back and forth that is driving me nuts.
And I think it's also not just the media's coverage of it, Dustin, but it's also the participants, the conferences, the teams. We're now saying, you know what? Right now, so I could keep picking on the Southeast Conference, they're debating whether to go to a ninth conference game or not. You know, so let's play, if you're Alabama, hey, let's get a game against Georgia or Florida instead of playing Podunk U, which it's obviously would be good for the game, good for the fans, good for everybody. Oh, wait a minute. We might lose that game, which ultimately may cost us a playoff berth. So we can't do that. I don't recall when I was young teams determining their schedule that way. We can't play them because we might lose, Dustin. So it seems like the participants have that kind of skewed type of mentality, and it's just spilling over to the media, where the media actually, some of them agree, play Podunk 12 times, and then you get yelled at for playing Podunk 12 times if you go 12-0.
Yeah, that, and I think that's also become a huge problem. We've talked about it. Like, James Franklin makes a great point. Like, why would you schedule tough teams when they just care about your wins and losses? Like, if you go 12-0, and especially when they're going to potentially add more automatic bids to these conferences, like, why would you risk a loss? So I don't know.
Well, let me interrupt for something going on right now. Is there's talk of ending the Notre Dame USC rivalry. I don't like either team. Don't have a dog in the fight.
Right.
But I sure as hell want that game to be played.
Yeah, there's a lot of games. Like, even if you want to stick closer to where I am, like the Purdue Notre Dame rivalry ran away. Now, that was something Notre Dame did. Notre Dame Michigan. You know, that those things have gone away. And so those were the things, though, that made college football beautiful, were those rivalries and just the pure hatred you had for multiple teams. And again, we seem to be getting further and further away, so that way you can help your spot in the playoff rankings.
All right, that's it for quarter number two. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante. He is a Sports Illustrated Big Ten sports writer, Dustin Schutte. Dustin, we spent a lot of time talking about cranky, salty, grumpy Dustin. Now let's move on to salty Jim, okay? In the news this week, I think you and I think about Ohio State in similar ways. Ohio State, Michigan, they're privileged in the Big Ten. And one of the things that come up, now this is very relevant to Penn State fans also. Fox has what they call Big Noon, the Big Noon game. We've gone, again, tradition for years. You have a big game. You play it in prime time, at night, under the lights. That's what you do. At Penn State, it has an even bigger meaning because it's a whiteout, which should be played at night. And since the big games were played, there was never a problem until Fox took over the rights to Big Ten football. And Fox, as the primary carrier, Big Ten football, they get the first couple choices of games, and they put those big games on at noon. Penn State gets up in arms because they don't want to play Oregon, say, this season, the biggest home game at noon. They want it at night, so it could be the whiteout. Well, Ohio State gets affected by this also, and apparently someone in the Ohio State legislature wants to legislate out noon games for Ohio State, Dustin. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm glad I don't live in Ohio and pay taxes, because I would be furious if that's how my money was being wasted. Just to draw up this nonsense. And I understand some of it's just like having fun and, you know, to that extent, like, oh, look, I'm going to drop this funny bill. But this is like, this is among the most absurd things that they've done. The other that I can think of was, remember, this was a few years ago when they attempted to trademark the.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Good Lord. Yeah. And what was the other one that they just recently did? No flag planting at midfield. tried to outlaw that, make it illegal. Like, what goes on in Ohio State Congress that this stuff is just constantly being? Now, I think the university tried to trademark the. I don't think that was an Ohio government thing, but nonetheless, it's just like, man. I personally don't have the same vendetta against Ohio State as maybe Michigan or Penn State or some of those other teams. However, they do make it awfully hard for themselves to be liked when they do stuff like this.
Here's my personal favorite part of all this. And one thing I disagree with you, I don't think they were doing it tongue-in-cheek. Okay, I think they were dead serious. Okay?
Well, that would make it even worse for my tax dollars.
But the part that gets me is that they are situating the rules where it's if it's a state university and it's a high-ranked team's playing. So they do everything but just say Ohio State, which is what they should do. But by the way, part of, and this is why I think they're serious, they put an exception in there, though, for Ohio State versus Michigan. We hate noon games. They're illegal. We'll find somebody, conference, opposing team, television network. We're going to find somebody $10 million. Oh, but we need to play Michigan at noon. And don't you dare try to, we are advocating for 3:30 or night games for the big games. It has to be, or we'll find you $10 million, except for when we play Michigan, then that has to be at noon. So what are you arguing for? What is it you want? Do you want noon games for a big game or don't you? So should you play Michigan at noon or at night? Make up your mind. It's the inconsistency of it and the total. They essentially, here's what they're saying, and here's how they should write the law. Okay, I think they should have the law, but they should write it this way: we are Ohio State. We should get whatever we want, whenever we want. Okay, that's the way this works. And let me just add an addendum to it. Why don't you just declare us conference champions before the season starts? Simple, Dustin.
This reminds me of a meme I saw during the pandemic season. So that would have been what, 2020? There is a baby in a high chair. There is a mother, and she is trying to spoon feed this child, her baby, and over the child, it says Ohio State. Over the mother, it says Big Ten. And over the spoon, it says whatever they want.
And just as a reminder, that's the year that they had a rule in because some games weren't played. You had to play, what was it, at least six conference
games? Six games, yes.
To win the division, I guess, at the time. I don't think it was the whole conference. I think it was to win the division. And Indiana played six games. Ohio State did not. But Ohio State beat Indiana during the season. Now, personally, I was aware. Ohio State was the better team, okay?
Yes, right,
with this
correct.
Crazy, crazy thing called the Big Ten Conference rule. Well, we're just going to throw that out because it damaged Ohio State. My question always, it was the question then, I'll ask you the question now. If the roles were reversed and Ohio State would win by the rules, is there any chance in the world that conference would have stepped in and overruled it, Dustin?
No, we were on the same. I was adamant on Twitter at the time about that, where like if the rules were reversed and it was Indiana that was 5-0 and Ohio State, I don't remember what Indiana's record was, 6-1 or 7-1 when they finished. I don't remember how many games they played. I was like, Ohio State would have gotten in. Even like that, they would not have changed the rule 1,000%, because that was what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And so that's what they went for. And so, yeah, that like, that's just whatever it is. And I would have had no problem if they didn't implement that rule in the first place. But when you implement the rule, then like, you got to stick to it.
Exactly. So it may sound like I've got something against Ohio State, And if you're getting that impression, you're getting an accurate read on me, okay? but this is why. This is why, okay? Because that kind of ruling, and yes, the meme you had with the Big Ten feeding Ohio State whatever they wanted, I like that. All right, let's move on. Let's move on from salty Jim to a fun topic now, Dustin, that we could hit on. This is one of my favorite things about college football. When the DraftKings and FanDuel and all of those, they come out with their win totals for the season. And yep. They came out for that for college football. We're going to take a look at the Big Ten win totals. And before we get into the teams and where we're going to – I'm going to start at the top. Is there any win total that you're looking at that really just sticks out like a sore thumb to you?
I don't think so. I feel like, okay, so this is the one thing, and maybe this is trivial. How do I phrase this? I know that they go based off of a 12-game schedule. So just the regular season is your over-under.
Right.
I always feel like 10.5 for the best team in the conference is low. Isn't that insane to think about? But like Oregon, Ohio State, and Penn State, if I recall correctly, I'll bring this up here in a minute. They all were at 10.5 via FanDuel. Yes. I'm surprised one of those isn't at 11. I think that was the most interesting one. And then I feel like, was Minnesota at 6.5? I think that one was that one seemed low to me.
Well, here's a couple. Let's start at the top because I found that very interesting also, the 10.5 wins for the three top teams. Now, normally, putting it at the half game, and every team was at a half, so that they'll either win more or less, okay? But occasionally, they have gone right at the number, and I think they've done that with Ohio State, where Ohio State is obviously the best team. It's a push if they lose one game and you win if they go undefeated. And I went through I thought kind of the same thing. Then I went and looked at their schedules. And Ohio State, remember, they don't just have Penn State and Michigan on their schedule where you could say, oh, you could kind of count on at least a split between those two games and they're 11-1. They also play Texas, remember.
Right.
So all of a sudden, that 10.5 for Ohio State looks pretty good. Correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, this is why I said it just seemed odd to me that they were all at 10.5, but I think it makes sense.
Well, I think also looking at their schedules, Oregon, I think they went undefeated last year, 12-0. I think to expect that again, especially with the amount they lost. Now, they don't play Ohio State, but they are at Penn State this year. And they also have Indiana, Wisconsin, USC on their schedule. Considering how much they lost, I think 10.5 works for them also.
Yeah. This is – why do you make logical sense, Jim, by bringing up the schedules?
Well, that's where I think they do such a great job getting this is why they make so much money, Dustin.
Yes, it is. That's correct.
Because they're so good at it. And Penn State has games with Oregon and at Ohio State. You know, the conversation is always Penn State can't beat Ohio State. I would think I don't think they've put out a point spread on that game yet, Penn State at Ohio State. But if they were to do it before the season, you know Ohio State's going to be favored, and rightfully so.
Right.
So then, you know, are you going to bet Penn State's going to go undefeated the rest of the season, even though they have a game against Oregon? I gave it a second glance, but I think they're right putting the number at 10.5 for those three teams.
And that makes me ask, I have a question now. based on your response to that. And so this is my question. Let's say Penn State finishes 10-2, which would let's finish on the other side.
Oh, that's called a tease, Dustin.
Teaser.
We'll get to it right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Dustin. I'm Jim. And when we last left you, there was a question on the table. Almost on the table. Dustin, now's your shot. Give me the question.
Here we go. I've had all this time to think about how I'm going to reword it. Okay, so given the option, Ohio State, Penn State goes 10-2, but one of those 10 wins is over Ohio State, or Penn State goes 11-1 and loses to Ohio State again, which do you think Penn State fans would be happier with?
And this is going to fall into my prediction for the season, okay? I've been doing this show for 10 years, Dustin, okay? Which is incredible to me that we're still here. But I have never picked Penn State to win the conference, okay? Never have. This year I am, okay? But I still am picking them to lose to Ohio State in Columbus.
Okay.
I think they beat Oregon at home in September. I think they lose to Ohio State in Columbus in November. I believe they win the rest of their games. I think they go 11-1, and they go to the conference championship game at 11-1. That's why I'm phrasing it this way. At 10-2, beating Ohio State but losing two other games, I don't think they go to the conference championship game. Now, there'll be a lot of folks who would probably say, don't care about the conference championship game. I swear to God, this is a 30-year feeling at Penn State. The conference championship does not mean nearly as much to Penn State as it right. does to other people from their history of being an independent, and all that mattered was a national championship. But with all that said, I would take 11-1, a loss to an Ohio State, and a rematch in the Big Ten championship game, Dustin, on a neutral field. How's that?
There you go. That's a good answer. I like that answer. Because at 10 and I wanted to say 10-2 instead of like 8-4, because 10-2, you're probably still getting into the playoff. And right. so it takes away that just simply beating Ohio State, because everybody wants to be, but 10-2, 11-1, maybe it's the difference between conference championship. Maybe you get a week off. You can take that week off. Didn't really matter to Penn State last year because they still made it to the semifinal round. But just a curious little question there now that they, because it's always been, Ohio State has been the itch that they cannot scratch. And it just makes me wonder, like, would you rather have two losses, but you finally beat Ohio State? Or would you rather have one loss and still, damn it, we can't beat the Buckeyes?
Well, I think, it leads to, this is another little similar kind of question that I'll put out to you. And I'm going to give you my theory and just let you respond to it. Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State, I think, are the three best teams in the conference. Agreed?
Sure. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And a year ago, Oregon was undefeated, regular season, won the Big Ten Conference championship game, and then got shellacked, embarrassed in their first playoff game by Ohio State, okay? Ohio State, on the other hand, lost two regular season games, losing to Michigan, which we know how Buckeye fans feel about that. It's god-awful. They lost two conference games, but end up winning the national championship, okay? One team, zero losses. One team, two losses. But the two-loss team wins the national championship. My theory is the regular season is kind of irrelevant to those two teams.
Sure.
Hey, we went undefeated last year. Look where it got us. If they lose two games and make the playoffs, I think they're fine with that. Ohio State, hey, they lose two games. Hey, we did that a year ago and still won the national championship. Doesn't matter. Sure. Penn State, though, they have the big game against Oregon and Ohio State. I think for Penn State, it is critical for them to win one of those two.
Yeah, I think that's huge, especially in terms of like seeding, and you're also going to get a pretty good beat as to who they are too, right? Like if you can't beat, now again, it's because you could make the argument, well, if you can't beat Michigan, then you're not going to make it very far in the playoff, and there Ohio State goes and they win. So it's not the end all be all, but I do think in terms of seeding, putting yourself in a good position, you do have to win one of those two games, and you have to be prepared to play at that level in the playoff because you're going to face nothing but good teams in that 12-team field. So you got to have experience, you know, closing the deal in one of those games. So I don't think that's inaccurate. I think that's a fair statement to make.
And I just think it's fascinating that of the three teams, the other two teams, it's almost irrelevant for two different reasons. You know,
yeah, right.
One undefeated, the other the two losses. Let's look a little bit deeper beyond those three teams, Dustin. This is typical now of the Big Ten. There are 8 teams with a win total of 6.5, 7.5, or 8.5. And the vast majority, the 5 out of the 8 at 7.5 wins. And I kind of feel that's pretty accurate. I maybe question a little bit Indiana at still at 8.5, but Illinois at 7.5.
Yeah, that is the one that surprised me. I'm glad you pointed that one out. Illinois seems like easy money to me. 7.5. We've talked about, I think, Luke Altmaier, which I heard a nickname for him was Nuke Altmaier. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not sure why, but
I just like it. I'll just go with it. But
just real quick, speaking of nicknames, Penn State just got a commitment from a guy, a wide receiver. His nickname is Fat Rat.
That okay? We'll take that. You know what? This goes along with Chop Robinson. You just call him Pork Chop, right?
Yeah, love it. Anyway, I interrupted you. Keep going. Illinois, Indiana.
Yeah, I think Illinois is the team that we've talked about. They could be this year's Indiana. They could be the team that sneaks into the playoff, gets to 10 wins in the regular season and has a legitimate chance to, I don't know about make a run in the playoff, but has a chance to maybe sneak in and win a game in there, because I think Brett Bielema has done a fantastic job. They got their starting quarterback back. His defenses are usually pretty solid. So that one surprises me. Indiana is a bit of a wild card to me, just because, again, they had so many sixth and seventh year seniors last year. A lot of those guys followed Kurt Cignetti from James Madison. They'll still have some of those guys, but they'll also have a new quarterback in Fernando Mendoza. Their schedule is going to be a little bit more difficult. Their non-conference schedule is pretty slim in terms of the competitiveness, but that's an interesting one. And then can I drop down a few? Because
yeah,
this may talk about our coaching search, like Wisconsin at 5.5. That is not good. That is not good for Luke Fickell heading into his third season in Madison.
No, it is not. And I'm going to circle back to Illinois for a second, where
yes,
my instant reaction at 7.5 was just like you, easy money. Then I looked at their schedule. Now, of the big three, Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, they only play one. They play Ohio State. But on their schedule, all those teams clumped together, they have four games against those teams. They have Indiana on the road, USC at home, Washington on the road, and Wisconsin on the road. Now, those are four games do you think they'll be favored in every one of them? And do you think they'll win all four of those games? Again, they don't have to win all four, you know, but I can see a path for the under. I would still bet the over, but I could see a path.
Yeah, I think you can see a path. I think when you look at their month of November, like even you say at Wisconsin, Rutgers, Maryland, Wisconsin, Northwestern, I think they're 4-0 there. They've got two wins against Western Illinois and Western Michigan, so that's six. So then you've got Duke, Indiana, USC, Purdue, Ohio State, and Washington, and you've got to win two of those to hit the over. I still think it's easy money.
I would bet the over. Here's another schedule. You mentioned Wisconsin at 5.5. Again, sorry to use logic here and look at the schedule, Dustin. However, get this. Starting in week, whatever that week is, anyway, middle of the season, starting with their fifth game, here's their schedule for Wisconsin. At Michigan, home against Iowa, home against Ohio State, on the road against Oregon, a bye week, and then Washington at home, then on the road with Indiana and Illinois. There is your reason for 5.5 over under.
Yeah, well, and not to mention, they also play Alabama, so they're not going to rack up three non-conference wins.
Yes.
I doubt. I highly doubt. But the bigger concern is not necessarily where the over-under is, but it's like, is Luke Fickell going to be the head coach at Wisconsin after next season? Like this, to me, it was – I still am firmly on the camp. You talk about not letting things go for 30 years. Now, this has only been three. But I am still – I still can't believe that they fired Paul Christ for having one season where they weren't going to be at the top of, at the time, the Big Ten West. And – this is so far. Now we'll see what happens this year. I have no confidence they're going to get above five wins. And so you're talking about in two of his three seasons in Madison, not even making a bowl game. That is unheard of.
You could see things going south very, very quickly there at Wisconsin, can't you? And like I said, that middle of the season, like they don't have a bye when they play Michigan, Iowa, Ohio State, and Oregon back to back.
Yeah,
boy, you know that could get ugly fast. I somehow missed them on my. Do you have the list of over unders in front of you? I don't.
Yes, I do.
I missed Iowa. Where are they?
Iowa's at 7.5.
Okay, so I missed one of the. Oh no, I see him there. I'm sorry. It was right in front of me, Dustin. All right. Last half minute, give me your bet. Who? What team do you have that you're betting on and over under?
I feel confident. I'll give you two, and it's two that we've already talked about. I will take the over on Illinois in a heartbeat because I think that's going to be at least a 9-win team, and I will take the under on Wisconsin. I have no faith in what the Badgers have done through two seasons. I think they're going to be a 4-8 team.
All right, you heard it here first. I'm writing it down, so after the season, I'm going to come back at you, Dustin. That is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.